Water. Water, muttered Sam. He had stinted himself, and in his parched mouth his tongue seemed thick and swollen. But for all his care, they now had very little, perhaps half his bottle, and maybe there were still days to go. All would long ago have been spent if they had not dared to follow the Ork Road. For at long intervals on that highway, cisterns had been built for the use of troops sent in haste through the waterless regions. In one, Sam had found some water left, stale, muddied by the orcs, but still sufficient for their desperate case. Yet that was now a day ago. There was no hope of any more. At last, wearied with his cares, Sam drowsed, leaving the morrow till it came. He could do no more. Dream and waking mingled uneasily. He saw lights like gloating eyes, and dark creeping shapes, and he heard noises as of wild beasts, or the dreadful cries of tortured things, and he would start up to find the world all dark and only empty blackness all about him. Once only, as he stood and stared wildly round, did it seem that, though now awake, he could still see pale lights like eyes, but soon they flickered and vanished. The hateful night passed slowly and reluctantly. Such daylight as followed was dim, for here, as the mountain drew near, the air was ever murky, while out from the dark tower there crept the veils of shadow that Sauron wove about himself. Frodo was lying on his back, not moving. Sam stood beside him, reluctant to speak, and yet knowing that the word now lay with him. He must set his master's will to work for another effort. At length, stooping and caressing Frodo's brow, he spoke in his ear. "Wake up, master," he said. "Time for another start." As if roused by a sudden bell, Frodo rose quickly, and stood up and looked away southwards. But when his eyes beheld the mountain and the desert, he quailed again. "I can't manage it, Sam," he said. "It's such a weight to carry, such a weight."